raised in a family where there's divorce, abuse, and it's maybe not as anything as major as addiction or anything like that, but it could be just maybe you were raised in a family that it's very distrusting, very judgmental, very just negative, just a negative family, that everybody in your family is negative. And there's a lot of strife and all of those kind of things. Joseph was raised in a family where there was favoritism. And where there was favoritism, there's strife and hatred. And that does have a tendency to affect the way that we view the world that we live in. So we have what is called world view. And everybody has a world view. And we're not talking about politics. We're talking about the way, the glasses through which you see the world that you live in. How you judge things. How you choose life. How you live life. That's your world view. It's the principles or the lack of principles that you incorporate into your life. And a lot of what happened in Joseph's family was based on competition between, I mean, if a man's got four wives, he's got four headaches. I mean, because now I'm not saying anything bad about you girls. Ladies, if you had four husbands, you'd have eight headaches. Okay? One thing that women don't do well is share. The kitchen, the husband. Well, anyway, moving right along before I get in trouble. I'm notorious for getting in trouble. But it created competition. It created jealousy. It created just all kinds of strife. And then on top of that, Jacob had a favorite son. And you can imagine what that does to the heart of the other sons. and even what it did to Joseph, who was the favorite son, because it caused his brothers to hate him and to conspire against him. So this is the atmosphere that he was raised in. And on top of that, Jacob was a very devious person. He was a taker. His name means supplanter. And he lived up to his name because he tried to cheat. Well, he did cheat his brother out of his birthright. He cheated him out of the blessing. He tried to cheat Laban, his father-in-law. And he was just a very manipulative person. Have you ever been in a place where there's a lot of manipulation going on? It just causes chaos. And you know, the sad thing is that there's a lot of people that think that that's normal. That everybody lives that way. You know, everybody don't live in chaos. Not everybody lives in chaos. But people do not overcome their background. And I don't care how good your background is, we all have issues that we have to deal with. There's no such thing as a perfect family. I come from a good family, a good mom and dad, good provision, no abuse. We haven't had much divorce in our family at all. I mean, just no, you know, not any big issues, but still there were things that I had to overcome from my upbringing because my parents weren't perfect. There are things that I didn't get that I needed that a lot of things, times you don't think that they're big issues, but they really are. And we have to be able to overcome those issues if we're ever going to fulfill our undying purpose. Because we believe that everybody comes into this world with a designed purpose that's put in there by God. God designed you for something. And he designed you for his glory. But Jacob was this very selfish, self-centered, all about me guy. But Joseph was different. He didn't allow all of that somehow to shape him. And you don't have to allow that to shape you. Just because your mom and dad got a divorce doesn't mean that you have to get a divorce. Just because you were raised in a drug and alcohol family doesn't mean that you have to do that too. In fact, I have seen some people who have, let's say, been raised with a lot of divorce in their family. And they determined in their heart that when they got married, they were going to be committed to that marriage. And if there's one thing that is tearing up our nation today, And I don't say this in a condemning way. I say this in a truthful way. And if you've ever been through this, you know what I'm talking about. But divorce is a very difficult thing. It's very hard. It's very hard on everybody involved. There's nothing good about divorce. And I think one of the things that we need to do as a church is to do everything that we can to strengthen families. Amen. And I know probably more than half of this congregation has been through a divorce. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything like that. And we're not here to say you're a bad person because you've been through a divorce. I don't know. I don't know if you caused one or you didn't have anything to do with regardless of what happened. You can't do anything about your past, but you can do something about your present and your future. And just because that you had a bad relationship doesn't mean that you have to let that shape everything else in your life. And this is what Joseph was able to do, because he was not shaped by the dysfunction of his family. He was affected by it, but he was not shaped by it. Joseph's name means he shall add. And everywhere Joseph went, he added value. He added value to people. See, there's really two kinds of people in the world. There's givers and there's takers. And you're sitting here today, you're either a giver or a taker. Life is either all about you, what I can get, who I am, everything revolves around you, or you're a person that you want to add value to other people. And let me tell you, one of the things that I know this, because there's a principle, it says that he who seeks to save his life shall lose it, but he who lays his life down shall find it. And one of the greatest ways that I know for you to be fulfilled in life is to add value to other people. Don't make you the purpose of your life. Don't make yourself the center of your life. Make other people. Add value to other people. Be a blessing to everybody that you can be a blessing to. Now, that's good preaching. I don't care who you are. As that great theologian Larry the Cable Guy would say, don't care who you are, that's good preaching. But adding value, and that's what Joseph did everywhere he was at. Now, there are some things that happened in his life because of seeds that he sowed. And then there was, as we talked last week, there are some things that happened to him that he had nothing to do with, and they were bad things. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes when you do the right thing, bad things happen because of it. Because, number one, we live in a world that just goes cross-grain to the kingdom and the principles that we have embraced as Christians. The world is not Jesus-friendly. I want to tell you something about America. Although we have religious freedom here, this is not a Jesus-friendly society. It's really not. And so the kingdom of the world is, it just goes cross-grained to what the kingdom of God is. And that's why you're not of the world. If you're in Christ, you're not of the world. You have a different home. You have a different kingdom. And sometimes operating the way that you should, still you run into circumstances that don't go the way that you expect it to happen. So Joseph was sold into slavery, was bought by Potiphar, who was one of the chief guards in Pharaoh's army. He was a high up in his army. And the Bible says that God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. In fact, he blessed him so much that everything that Joseph did in that house, God blessed. And he increased. And Potiphar increased so much that he didn't even know what he had. He didn't keep up with it. Joseph was in charge of everything. The only thing that Joseph couldn't touch was the wife. That's the only thing that he withheld. And, you know, here Joseph is. He's this good-looking guy. He is very attractive. And let me tell you something. People who add value are very attractive people. They're very appealing. And therein lies some possible temptations with it when you add value to people, because, you know, nobody likes to be taken advantage of, do they? They just don't. I mean, if you've ever been took by somebody, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But when you see people that are always trying to add value, there's something that is attractive about that. He was good looking. He had this persona about him that he was doing good things and would become very attractive, and especially to the opposite sex. And so one day, Potiphar's beautiful wife comes to Joseph and says, now, see, even when you're doing the right thing and you're doing it for the right reason, you're still, that don't make you safe from temptation. Temptation is a fact of life. Temptation is going to happen in life. I've heard people say, you know what? I've been doing my best to do so good. I've done so good. Why all of this temptation coming at me? Duh, you're going cross grain to the whole thing here, to the whole culture, the whole society. You know, because the culture says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know, it's about me. It's about me. It's about my self-esteem. It's about my ministry. It's about my church. It's about my job. It's about my prosperity. It's about my, me. And it's not. And when you try to do it the right way, you're going to run face into temptation. And here she comes. He's a young guy. He's in his 20s. She's an older woman, good looking. Hey, dude, I mean, ideal dream of a young man. Have a good looking older woman attracted to you. So is it a temptation to him? Yes. But she comes to him and she says, sleep with me. Sleep with me. And she does this day after day after day after day. And I love what he said. He said, you know, I've been put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. The only thing that he has withheld from me is you. He says, how can I sin against God? And I love that statement, because he saw that if he did this thing, that he wouldn't just sin against Potiphar, he would sin against God. And he would sin against the purpose that God had put in his heart. And there are times that the choices that we make in life cause us to sin against the purpose that's in our heart. We need to get that into our thinking, that life is about purpose. It's not about self. It's not about self-gratification. It's not about the temporary. A lot of times it's about the eternal. And that's what we need to be about. We need to be about the eternal. So day after day, she tries to wear him down. And man, he stands strong. Because you know why? He has a sense of purpose. He has a sense of his relationship with God. He's got his circles right. God first. God first. And she don't fit in any of his circles. Potiphar is very important to him because he has been given a stewardship. And principle above passion is the principle that he's operating in. Principle above passion. Sometimes it's very tempting to exalt passion above principle. And that's when we start getting into trouble. So one day she catches all of the household servants away, and she sets the trap. She comes to him and says, today you're going to sleep with me. And he said, no. And she grabs him by the garment. I'm glad she didn't grab him by the hair of the head. And as I said last week, he became the first streaker, because he left, and he left the garment in her hand. He did the chicken thing and he ran, but he did the smart thing. He ran. He, at that point, he had to exalt principle above passion, because I'm sure his passion was screaming, young man, beautiful woman. But he did the right thing. And sometimes in doing the right thing, you have to flee. Okay? Because it was a temptation. She calls rape. Potiphar gets mad at him, throws him in prison. You know what? He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve to be thrown in jail. Can you imagine how he could have been mad at God God, I did the right thing and look what happened. That's what I get for doing the right thing. What, God, you forsaken me. Had God forsaken him? No, God was at work on his behalf even when he couldn't see it. And a lot of times we think that God has abandoned us, but we can't see what's going on that's being prepared for the future. Now, God didn't have anything to do with the temptation. That woman did. Being in the world did. There wasn't any reason to blame anything on God. But something bad happened to a good person for doing the right thing. But that doesn't stop God. That's what I'm glad about. That even when we obey God and something bad happens, that doesn't stop God. In fact, God can work stronger on our behalf when we are obedient than when we are disobedient. So we get things all goofed up when we start compromising and all of those kind of things. Now, God can still work around that. Maybe your whole life has been compromised. Well, change it. We can change that. Now, is it going to be easy? No. But it can be done. See, one thing that you got that no other creature has been given, and that is the power to choose. You know, that's one thing that Satan would like to steal from you is your ability to choose. And he tries so many things to do that. I mean, addiction, bad habits. And what he's trying to do is put so much pressure on you that you can't make a choice. That he's trying to steal your will. He would love to control your will. And God gave you a free will. God won't even violate your will. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God wants you to choose the right thing. See, God desires to do for you what he can do through you. I want to say that again. God desires to do for you what he can do through you. I'm talking to Christians. Now, we couldn't save ourselves, so he had to do that. There are some things that only he can do. But when he works in our life and he's working his purpose in us, he desires to work for us by working through us. Because when he works through us, guess what we do? We grow. We grow. You know, I've used this illustration lots of times. I'm almost an expert at losing weight. I've done it for years. I've probably lost two or three of me and found it. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. And what I would love to happen is just to go up in a prayer line, 287, pray a prayer, and all of a sudden hold my pants and melt down to 199. But you know the problem? See, God could do that. Oh, why don't God do something like that? Well, the problem is if he did it 6 months, I'd put 100 on because I hadn't changed anything. See, we're always saying, oh, God, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to win the sweepstakes. If you did in 6 months, you'd be broke because you don't know how to handle money. You don't know how to be a good steward. You know, I read an alarming thing in the Democrat this morning that concerning the lottery. Now, don't get your hackles up. I'm not going to preach anything like that. But according to the lottery, the greatest percentage of money spent per capita is in the poorest county in Arkansas. You know what that says to me? That they're using that to try to improve their lifestyle. The lottery is for people who have money that they don't have to use. It's when they take their rent money. See, they lose. See, they have a wrong mentality. If my ship would come in, if that uncle would die and leave me my inheritance, if this would happen, if I could win the Reader's Digest sweepstake, if I could just buy that ticket and win the lottery, all my life would be so much good. The first thing I do is quit my job. Therein lies the problem. What you're saying is, I wouldn't have to trust God. I wouldn't have to do anything. And let me tell you something. People who win the lotteries, it's been a curse to them. It hadn't been a blessing. There's a lot of them who are worse off and they're broker and bankrupt and messed up and their marriages are messed up. You know why? Because they don't know how to handle what they got. I say, I love what the scripture says. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, but he adds no sorrow with it. Because when he works through you, it builds character in you, no matter what that is, whether it's financial, whether it's responsibility, whether it's promotion, whether it's stewardship or whatever that is, it works the character of God in you. So Joseph could have become bitter at God and said, well, God, I don't understand why you did this to me. God didn't do it to him, but God was working for him. So he winds up in prison. Now, go with me or look up here on the stage or on the overhead. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that... Nope. 39. He's thrown in prison. Genesis 39, 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Why didn't he just open the doors and let him out? Just because he didn't do that, then he must not be with me. Don't try to define how God works in your life. Don't try to define that. Sometimes it seems like God is doing nothing, and many times that's when he is doing the most. You just don't see it or sense it. Okay? I'm sure that he felt betrayed. He felt betrayed by Potiphar. He felt betrayed by God. He felt betrayed by his family. The whole thing. He said, it just seems like I've tried to do everything right, and now I'm in prison. But it says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. See, you can't keep the good man down. You can't keep the focused man down. He knows his purpose. And see, here's one thing, a mistake that a lot of people make. And they think, you know what? Someday when I come into my purpose, and they're thinking about someday. And when we think about someday, many times we forget to live day by day. Because it's the day by day by day living. It's the day by day by day living. It's getting out and walking and exercising and eating right that causes you to lose the weight. It's the working out that causes you to build the muscles. It's not thinking, okay, in 6 months I'm going to be muscle man, and you're dreaming about that and you don't do anything to work on your muscles. No, it's what you do day by day by day by day. And Joseph was in that prison, and he was there for several years. He was in that prison. He was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He was 30-something when he came into Pharaoh's court. So there was at least 13 years of serving as a slave and in a prison. And Joseph remained true to his purpose. He added value to every person. Whether it was Potiphar's house, the mom and pop store. Okay? One little deal. Now the prison. Actually, he was promoted. He's over more people than he was at Potiphar's house. But he was faithful at Potiphar's house. He's faithful in the prison. God blesses it. Blesses it so much that the jailer doesn't even have to worry about anything. He just turns it over. Says, run it, run it. He's sitting in his office with his feet kicked up, smoking cigars. Joseph took care of it. He added value. Then something happened. Several years into this, the Pharaoh's butler and baker... Something happened. The Bible doesn't really say, but it caused a conflict. And these two guys wind up in prison under Joseph. And while they're in prison, they dream dreams. Now remember, Joseph is a dreamer. That's what they call him, the dreamer. So the butler and the baker dreamed a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream for them. And both of the dreams came to pass. Here's the baker. He cooked for Pharaoh. Here's the butler. He tasted of the food before Pharaoh did, so that if it was poisoned, the butler would die. He ministered to Pharaoh. Well, interpreting the dream, he told the butler, says, "You will be restored to your position." He said to the baker, "They're going to remove your head." Both came to pass. And then in later, he goes on, he says to the butler before he goes back into Pharaoh's service, he says, "When you get back to Pharaoh, don't forget about me. Tell Pharaoh so that he can get me out of this prison." See, even though he was being faithful there, he knew that he had a higher purpose than spending his life in prison. But he was faithful while he was there, but he knew that there was a higher place. And he thought maybe this butler would be his key to get out of prison. So you know what happens? The butler goes back to Pharaoh and he forgets about Joseph. Now Joseph could have gotten bitter because Joseph spends 2 more years in the prison. 2 years. That's a long time. 2 years in the prison. And he could have said, "That dadgum butler. Look, what I added value to him. I blessed him. I ministered to him. I protected him while he was in this prison. And what does he do when he has a chance to do something good for me? He just forgets about me. Pooey on him anyway. A pox upon him." He could have gotten bitter. If he would have gotten bitter, what would that have done to Joseph? Are you bitter today? Are you bitter about something today? Is there somebody in your life that you need to forgive? Because let me tell you something. You'll see everything in your life. Your worldview will come into one of bitterness and unforgiveness. And you'll see everything through those glasses. It will affect your progress as a believer. I'm speaking to somebody today. I know. I feel a quickening in my heart. There's somebody that needs to listen to this today. I don't know who it is, don't want to know, don't have to know. I just know when the Holy Spirit's saying something, that there are issues in believers' lives that keep them where they are in the prison. Where Joseph would have stayed if he had gotten bitter? In the prison. But you know the neat thing about Joseph? He was in the prison, but the prison was never in him. And there's a lot of things about a lot of people. They are in prison physically, and they're in prison in their heart. And you know what happens to those people? That's where they stay. I've seen people who literally go to prison. They get out, and within 6 months, they're back. You know why? Because prison's on the inside of them. They didn't get it out. See, your circumstances do not have to define you, but they will if you'll allow it to. And some of the ways that they do that is through your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your stubborn heart, all of those things that you do, all those excuses that you make about things. But Joseph didn't do any of those things. He remained true. 2 years! And then one day Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh has a dream. And in this dream, and we'll talk about that in a minute, he invites all of the soothsayers, the people with the astrological charts and all of the people who are supposed to have all of this insight. He invites them in, and nobody can interpret the 2 dreams that Pharaoh has. The butler's standing there looking at all of this, and he said, "You know, something seems familiar about this." And all of a sudden he goes, "Duh. Oh, that's bad of me." And he says, "Pharaoh," says, "while I was in prison, there was a Hebrew there, and he interpreted our dreams. And it came to pass just like he said. All of a sudden, the butler remembered. Guess what happens? Pharaoh sends for Joseph, brings him out of the prison, brings him to him, shares with him the two dreams, and Joseph interprets both dreams. And the dreams had to do about 7 extremely prosperous years, followed by 7 extreme years of famine that was going to affect the earth, or that region of the earth. And then Joseph went on and shared wisdom. He says, now Pharaoh, here's what you should do. He said, you should appoint someone over this business to orchestrate all of this. And he shared with him what, you know, that they would take in about 1/5 of the produce of the 7 years, and they would store it up so that it would cover the needs during the 7 years of famine. And you know what Pharaoh said? He said, you know what, Joseph, that's a great idea. And I think you're the man to do it. And all of a sudden, Joseph goes from the pit to the prison to the palace. And he is promoted to number 2 in the country of the most powerful country in the world at that time. Pharaoh said to him, says, you're going to have control over everything except the throne. He even gave him his signet ring. He could even make law. And Joseph orchestrated this whole thing through the 7 years of plenty. He took 1/5 of it. He stored it up in silos. And then in the 7 years, they began to sell that to not only Egypt, but to the whole world. And herein, his brothers and his father's house was affected by the famine. And all of a sudden, the brothers come to buy grain. And they come in and they don't know Joseph, because he's the one that they have to stand in front of. Remember the dream Joseph had back when his brothers hated him? He says, I see your sheaves and my sheaves, and we're in a field, and your sheaves bow before my sheaves. Joseph is standing there and he reveals who he is to his brothers. And you know what they do? They think, oh my gosh, he's going to kill us. And they did what? They bow. Joseph is standing there, and literally before his eyes, he sees the fulfillment of his purpose. Aren't you glad that he was faithful to God during that whole time? That he didn't make wrong choices. Choices determine destiny. See, purpose. I know people who have been called by God who never even get saved. I know people who have been called by God who cannot fulfill their purpose because they've got issues in their life that they can't overcome. I know one that has started several churches and can't even stay in ministry because of his lifestyle. Wow. I'm glad that he remained faithful, because he implemented one of the greatest programs that probably saved thousands and thousands of lives. Now, I want to close with 6 things here real quick I want to give to you about Joseph that really shows his character in all of this. Number 1, Joseph does not take credit for interpreting Pharaoh's dream. It says in Genesis 41:15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He did not try to take credit for what God wanted to do. It's not our job to take credit for what we accomplish. It's our job to give God glory because he's the one who called, he's the one who equipped, he's the one who worked. Have you ever been around a horn tooter? I'm not talking about a trumpet player. I'm talking about somebody that toots their own horn. My grandma used to say, "He that tooteth not his own horn, saith horn yet not tooted." And whatever that means. But you've been around people, they're always tooting their own horn. Toot, toot, toot. I'm a wonderful pastor. I pastor the largest church in town. What's that? That's tooting his horn. Who should get the glory? God should get the glory. And when we touch that, that affects so many things. We need to stay true and give God the praise for that. Number two, Joseph shares his wisdom on how to handle the famine, but did not self-promote. He says, "Now, Pharaoh, here's what you need to do." But he didn't say, "Choose me." He allowed Pharaoh to choose him. Have you ever seen a self-promoter? When we try to exalt ourselves, many times we're abased. What we need to do is humble ourselves and let promotion come from God. See, it's very easy to look at other people who've been successful in a particular area, and we try to emulate and we try to self-promote so that we can gain an advantage, and that usually winds up in chaos. Let's let God do the promoting. Don't promote yourself. Allow God to do that. He'll do it. Humble yourself in the sight of God and he'll lift you up. Lift yourself up and you'll be humbled. Okay. So Pharaoh chooses Joseph. He goes from the pit to the prison to the palace. See, 3 John 2 says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." See, everything that happens in our life can either be a stumbling block or a stepping stone to our undying purpose. And as you prosper on the inside, it will cause you to prosper on the outside. I have seen people who've been given promotion. I know a guy that got promoted in work, went from about $6 an hour to $16 an hour, was put into a position, and then wound up fired because he couldn't handle. See, he prospered on the outside, but he didn't prosper on the inside. But when we prosper on the inside, guess what? It'll cause you to prosper on the outside. You don't have to self-promote. Pharaoh is the one who promoted him. Joseph is put, number four. Joseph is put second in command only under Pharaoh. Remember, Potiphar's house, that's the mom and pop operation. He goes from there to the prison. That's over a whole lot more. Now he is over a country. It's like he went from mom and pop to the CEO of a huge corporation. Did you know most people who start out in life don't start out as the CEO of the big corporation? Where do they start out? They start out handling the little things. And if we're faithful with the little things, God will put us over bigger things. You know, I've heard people say, "You know what? When I get rich, then I'm going to tithe." And I'm thinking, if you're not faithful when you have little, you're not going to be faithful when you have much. And it's when we learn to be faithful with a little bit of money that God can trust us with more money. It's when we can be faithful with the little things in life that he'll promote us over the bigger things in life. But when we mess up the little stuff, you forget about the promotion. Okay. Number five. And I love this because Joseph's sons revealed the work of God in his heart. He had two sons, Manasseh, which means making to forget. And this reveals the work of God in Joseph's heart, because one of the things that Joseph had to choose to do was to forget all of the bad things that happened to him. Have you ever seen somebody that they always talk about all of the bad things that people have done to him, all the bad ways that they've been treated, and they can never get over that. They can't forget. And when you can't forget, you can't move on. Well, I was abused, or I was this, and he did this, and she did that, and if he hadn't have done this, then this wouldn't have happened. You're rehashing all of the garbage. If you rehash garbage, guess what's going to come out? Garbage. And sometimes you just have to make a decision that you're going to forgive, you're going to forget about it, you're going to move on, you're going to release people from the debts that you think they owe you, and you're going to move on. And he was able to do that. And we're going to see how that plays out in just a minute. His second son's name means he shall be fruitful. And because he was able to forget and move on, he was able to become fruitful. And all people who cannot move on do not become fruitful. They become fruitless. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter. You don't know what you did to Jesus. You don't know what your sin did to Jesus. Put it in perspective. Okay, 1208. Gotta go. Number 6. When Joseph sees his brother's bow, he realizes his dream. He doesn't exact revenge, but acknowledges the hand of God. He was promoted over everyone else that did him wrong. Over Pharaoh, over Pharaoh's wife, over the butler, over the jailer, over everything in his life. Everybody in that kingdom he was promoted over. You know what he could have done? He says, I will show them. He could have exacted revenge upon his brothers. But you know what? If he had chosen to do that, he would have not fulfilled his purpose. If he would have punished his brothers, you know, they took from him. They stole his part of his life. He could have taken their life. He could have stole their life. But he says, you know what? You meant this for evil. And this is Genesis 45:5. It says, you don't realize that you meant this for evil, but God turned it around and made it for good. And if you'll stay true to purpose and you'll stay true to God, it doesn't matter what people do to you. God will work through that. He'll work in you. He'll work you through the forgiveness, and he'll bring you into fruitfulness. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. We're going to give opportunity for those who need prayer. I know the Holy Spirit has ministered to some hearts here today. I don't know what you need. I know the Holy Spirit has spoken some specific things to people about things that they need to deal with. You may be here today and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. There may be something that come up in the message that your heart was pricked about. Maybe you need healing in your body or whatever it is you need from God today. This is not a place of condemnation. This is a place of healing. We're entering into the spiritual hospital right now. Father God, we bless you and we thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this story in the Bible that just speaks of your grace and your love. Thank you for showing us pictures of people who were done wrong and still came out and did well. Speak to your people's heart today, I pray in Jesus' name. As we stand in his presence, would you come? Don't let anything keep you back from coming for what God has for you. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you today. You will.